All right, welcome everyone to Commissioner's Court today. Thank you for all being here. And as we begin, is there someone who would volunteer to do our opening invocation? Yes, John, that'd be great. Thank you. We could all stand together. And then I'll lead us in our pledges.
Thank you, Judge. Join me in prayer if you would like. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for this day. We praise you for your sovereignty. Praise you for your son, Jesus. And Father, I thank you for this commissioner's court that you've ordained to lead the county. I ask that you would give them your wisdom and knowledge as they make decisions today that affect all of us in Montgomery County. Ask for protection as we leave this place and go our separate ways. And Father, I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
You want to pledge?
Our pledge is to the American flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. And you may be seated. Let the record reflect that there are four of us who are here, which makes a quorum. Commissioner Nowak is not here yet. At least he's not in our court. If he's here, he'll be coming in shortly, and I'll acknowledge that when he does. As we move forward, we know our roll call. Is there someone who would make a motion to approve the commissioner court agenda?
Move.
You have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, consent agenda. Oh, before we do that, the county clerk, consider and approve commissioner's court minutes from January 10th and January 24th. Do I have a motion to approve items 8A and B?
I'll move.
Second. Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Our consent agenda.
So we need citizens' comments first.
I'm sorry?
We need citizens' comments before we take a motion on the consent
Thank
agenda.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Before we get into our consent agenda, we have each time we gather together, we have an opportunity to have citizens' comments. We have two times we do this, at the beginning and at the end. At the beginning, it has to do with items that are noticed on the agenda, either on consent or on the open agenda. So if you'd like to come and make comments, if you'd state your name for the record, what is the item that you'd particularly like to address, please note that we have a timer and that we will keep it 3 minutes. If you have anything that you'd like to give to us, if you would ask permission to bring it to the bench. Is there anyone here who would like to make any comments? All right. If there are none, then let's move forward to our consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda without modifications or with modifications? Okay, we have a motion to approve without modifications. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, let's go right into our open agenda. First item is under County Judge. Consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding the adoption of a resolution supporting the state funding for the active shooter training facility. What we have here is a resolution that we have authored to approach the state of Texas as they have demonstrated an interest in our active shooter station out in New Caney. And if you'd like me to, I'll read this. If you all have already read it.
I'm okay without reading it. I've got a few comments, too.
Let me just read it. Whereas Montgomery County created a special threat plan in 2018 to provide instructions and guidance to effectively shape the response of all agencies within Montgomery County to an active shooter, violent intruder, hostile threat incident. And whereas Montgomery County has invested in the training and coordination of all agencies within Montgomery County surrounding jurisdictions through the temporary rental of a full-scale training facility formerly known as Kiefer Crossing Middle School, whereas the operations of the Special Threat Training Facility has been jointly coordinated by the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and the Montgomery County Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Whereas since October 1st, 2022, the training facility has successfully taught over 1,200 sworn peace officers, firemen, and paramedics from Montgomery County agencies and surrounding Texas jurisdictions at no cost to the first responder or their employing agencies. And whereas Montgomery County is seeking support from the state legislature, Texas legislature, to continue operations of the training facility with assistance of funding from the state of Texas to continue training first responders from any jurisdiction in Texas at no cost to their agency, and whereas said training is conducted by certified instructor utilizing the Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training Course, ALERT, developed by Texas State University. Whereas Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training ALERT was named in 2013 the National Standard Training and Active Shooter Response by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And whereas Montgomery County will continue to staff and facilitate training utilizing the ALERT course materials at this facility for any agency in the state of Texas at no cost to them, whereas Montgomery County will seek funding to cover the cost of owning the facility, reconditioning the facility, ongoing maintenance and operations of the facility to include staffing, instructors, and any and all materials necessary to facilitate designated training. And now, therefore, be it resolved by the Commissioners Court of Montgomery County that Montgomery County seeks $15,500,000 from the state of Texas for fiscal year 23 and fiscal year 24 acquisition and ongoing operations of the training facility. Said funding will be used to purchase and lease the facility, upgrade, rehabilitate, purchase or lease the facility, upgrade and rehabilitate the facility, employ trainers, logistics personnel, and for any equipment and training aids. Montgomery County, 3, desires to continue operations of the facility long-term, will continue to seek ongoing appropriations from the state of Texas to maintain and operate the facility year-round. Montgomery County Sheriff's Department and Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management will continue to provide the facility for all first responder agencies in Texas to utilize for special threat training. That is our resolution. Do we have a motion to approve?
Move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any discussion?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
No, move on, and I'd just like to make a few comments on this. We're happy to have this in Precinct 4. On behalf of Precinct 4, moving forward, with you and OEM, I'd like to be included in part of the process here so we can be a conduit with the business community and the school district. And if we're able to help or facilitate possibly a better location or something like that for that, we want to be a part of it. So.
Absolutely. We have a motion to approve this.
And when do you think we'll have an answer from state?
As soon as we hear from once it goes through. We probably won't hear it. Jason, what do you think? By June 1st, May 31st, what?
For sure by then, because they'd be a city die at that point. But the Appropriations Committee has already had some conversations about this, and they're in the process of building the budget now. So based on their budget calendar, that will probably be sometime around the end of March that we'll know if we have a budget rider on this, and then it'll go through the process of approval. So the senators that represent the county and the legislators from the House asked for this resolution so they could stick it in the committee file to show interest to the Appropriations Committee that the county is unified in its request. And we'll be sending them a shorter presentation. Those that we hosted them at the facility several months ago to show them what we're doing there. But we'll be sending the rest of them a presentation shortly to let them know what's there and how it works. And if they still want to come see it in person, we'll host them again. So,
what state and agencies and law enforcement agencies were at that presentation?
The Sheriff's Office facilitated the actual demonstration with their trainers and the officers that responded. And then we had a number of local fire departments and the hospital district there to show what the EMS and fire component is into an active shooter.
Attorney General?
The Attorney General was represented there. The Morgan Luttrell's office, Congressman Luttrell, Congressman Crenshaw's office was represented there, Senator Cruz and Senator Cornyn's offices were represented, and then we had Nelda Blair had a representative there. She's on the DPS Commission, Department of Public Safety is asking the state for $500 million to do this exact same thing that we're doing very cheaply. And if they were to approve that, it would take several years to spin that up. Ours is ready now, and we can fill the gap while they're spinning something up. So that's kind of the presentation we've made to the state, is allow us to continue. And at this time, we've added another 150 officers since this thing was drafted. We've been hitting it heavy through the last few weeks with multiple classes. Just 2 weeks ago, the school had both the federal agencies there doing some training, local bomb squads there doing training. The alert course was going on in one corridor, and I had fire and EMS in another corridor doing large building searches under the hood as to simulate in smoke with the fire lays. So the whole building was being used at one time. We had several hundred people there at one day for the whole week. So it's being widely used locally and regionally as well. And, you know, I think by March we'll have a better answer from the state.
Okay. How many agencies from outside of the county have used the facility so far?
The list is long. All in the region, Houston, anywhere in the region, Galveston, a lot of ISDs, police departments have come. We've had groups come from Minnesota. We've had groups from Austin. We've had some federal agencies from the Houston region, the FBI, the DEA, the ATF have used the facility. And predominantly, though, it's been Montgomery County heavy as we're catching up to the alert training with the officers. And then the fire departments and the EMS departments are doing the AIRS portion of the alert training with their response with law enforcement as they embed with those guys. And so it's been very heavy on the Montgomery County side, but we have allowed anyone that offers to use. And one of the nice things about this is if you ever come to an alert class, mixing the officers in from other jurisdictions is exactly how they'll be during a response to an active shooter. They're not all going to be from the same agencies showing up. That's a county-wide, region-wide response like we saw at Santa Fe and Uvalde. So they train not with their own. They train with other officers they may never have known until that day. And that allows us to integrate the training as it's supposed to be and get past some of the department issues and things that they have, radio issues that they may have, because they go through the full course together. And it's a week-long course, so it's a pretty intensive course for those guys. And I've been there for a number of them, got to participate in the AIRS course, and the difference between the first day and the last day is enormous, and we've thoroughly enjoyed doing it. It's been a fantastic program with the sheriff and the sheriff's office, and we continue to do it. And this would include staffing, so we would not have to commit, as the sheriff has committed a lot of staffing resources to this to ensure that we have trainers. This would give him a full-time staff dedicated to this facility as well. So
I've never been there. I think it's a great I've never been there. I'm afraid somebody will shoot me. But I don't know how you're going to keep the building from destroying the building as much as you're...
So we're not shooting live ammunition.
I know that, but again, there's a lot of activity going on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, currently, as you know, the facility that we're currently in was cannibalized by thieves when it sat vacant. So it has no running electricity. It has no running air conditioning. We have brought temporary stuff on site for that. So when it's being used, we have generators and portable air conditioning for portions of the building, not all of it. As Commissioner Gray alluded to, we do have an alternative location in the same school district area, another school coming available that's fully functional right now, that if we were to get the state funding, we could go after that school based on market conditions, probably come out a lot better on the pricing.
Yeah, Jason, I was going to say, yeah. I'm already working on some of the back channels for that. We've got a school that potentially would have a more conventional layout than the Kiefer, and...
For the benefit of this noticed item,
yeah,
if we could stay on course here,
yeah,
and make that a topic of discussion.
Been looking forward to working with Commissioner Gray on this. Yeah. This big project, and he speaks school talk. He's former school employee, so this is a great opportunity for us. So, but as I get more information from the Appropriations Committee, I'll keep the court advised, and of course the Budget Office and the Auditor's Office as we find out how this is going to transpire with them. It's a fiscal biennium budget request. That's why it's a high number. That first year has a lot of funding in it for the purchase. office and material upgrade and the staffing. Years two through are about $2 million a year for staffing and maintenance. So it's very inexpensive ongoing once we initiate the purchase and get the school built out the way it needs to be for the proper training. So.
All right. Any more discussion? We have a motion and a second.
Thanks,
all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you, Jason. Sheriff, consider and discuss and tell us what's going on in operations at the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office as an update for us.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate the opportunity to do this with you today. We were talking about some of our recruiting efforts. We're already working on budget. We work on budget all year round, so we get prepared. So wanted to talk about some of our recruiting efforts and already begin to talking about some of the presentations that we'll be making this summer when we get into budget time. So our vision, which kind of segues into what y'all were just talking about with that resolution, is to be the role model for public safety services in the state of Texas. This is a passion of mine. We always want to be in the lead. We love it when agencies look to us, consulting with us, like, what are they doing in Montgomery County? They're doing something right, so let's check with them. And the resolution that y'all just passed is a perfect example of that. This is a one-of-a-kind opportunity, one-of-a-kind facility, and I have, the support of not only emergency management but also the entire court. So that's another great example of how we're doing that. But specifically, I want to talk today about recruiting. And we believe that part of our success lies with our core values. This is something that we preach every day. These are our watchwords. This is who we are. This is how we identify ourselves at the Sheriff's Office. And because of that, I think it's led to a lot of our great success in our recruiting efforts. So you see here we have a graph of position reports, so our total positions and the number of vacant positions that are with it. My screen is really small. And so you see that we have added positions over time, but we have also been able to keep up with the number of positions that we have vacant. So we're constantly keeping up with the positions that you give us. So you grant us positions at budget time, and we're able to get those filled throughout the year, and our numbers continue to climb. So we're very proud of the effort that recruiting has, and the success that we've had getting people in the door and getting people hired with the Sheriff's Office. So the end of fiscal year position report by percentage, you see we've maintained a high percentage rate of employees. So our rates have been very successful, and we've been able to continue to maintain all of those positions. As you see, our percentage rates have remained about the same in the 90s, and our only vacancies are in the 3% range. So that's tremendous. So, but what does that mean in comparison to other agencies is something we'll talk about as well. So new hires versus separation, you see that we've continued to maintain a higher number on the hired side versus the separated side. And separated includes all categories. That's, from retirements to terminations, we've had some deaths. So whatever that case may be, we've maintained a higher number, and then we just had a banner year. So we were able to hire a whole lot more people than we lost, so increasing those staffing numbers. So if you want to compare agencies, we picked a couple. And this is certainly no negative reflection on them. They've kept a pretty decent number. 13% is a really good number. So that's no slam on the Fort Bend County Sheriff's Office. So the number 46%, what that represents is the number of percentage of unincorporated area their patrol division serves. As you know, we're the 911 agency from Montgomery County, and we service the unincorporated population. So Fort Bend County has 46%. Harris County Sheriff's Office has 57%. So they have the balance of the region versus Houston and the other cities. And we are the anomaly. We're like no other community in the state of Texas that we police 84% of our population. That is a huge number. That's why the burden falls on the commissioner's court versus city councils to provide that funding. And y'all have done that year after year. We've been able to get new positions. And, that's our 3% vacancy rate that's reflected again there. So our retention rate versus turnover rate, the holy grail for retention rate is 10% or less. But as you know, the challenges we face in law enforcement, agency, people are looking to come to us. We just hired 3 deputies yesterday. So one of those came from another constable's agency. One of those was a rehire that gave it a shot in the private sector, didn't work out, came back to us. And the other was a transplant from California. He did his research. He knew he wanted to land in this region, but he chose our office over the many others that were, you know, he had the opportunity to go to. And keep in mind, we're doing this without some of the bonuses and some of the incentives that a lot of agencies across the state. Just got back from a major county sheriff's conference where these are sheriff's offices that service a population of 500,000 people or more, so the biggest of the big in the nation. And they're offering up to a $20,000 hiring bonus. That's what they're doing to try to get people in the door. Now, you know the challenges. Think about Memphis. Memphis, with the Tyree Nichols death, the horror, the public spectacle that went along with that, they already had 500 vacancies. They were already paying hiring bonuses. What are the chances they're going to get anybody in the door with the culture that they have at that agency? That's why I'm so proud of our PACT, our core values, with our community, where we get the support from the community, you get the support to fund us, and that's what makes Montgomery County a special place to be. So we're really proud of our turnover rate. We've maintained somewhere in the 13%. The Holy Grail is less than 10%. You got problems if you're over 20%. So we're nowhere near to have problems, even despite the climate where so many people aren't looking to come into law enforcement. And what's not reflected in this number, this 13%, is the majority of our turnover happens in the dispatch and detention officer ranks, very little in the commissioned deputy ranks. And really, really proud of that, because that is the backbone, that is the core of our agency, but those are the 3 core functions of the sheriff's office: communications, detention, and law enforcement. So just wanted to come and brag a little bit. It wouldn't be possible without your support, and your support year in and year out. But I haven't asked for deputies in several years, and the reason was because we didn't feel that we could fill those positions in a timely manner, but we felt we could continue to feed the Army. So I've come to you with feed the Army positions, and we've added a lot of those over time, just like the courthouse security. So we added detention officers to move those deputies out in accordance with our strategic plan. So those have been successful initiatives. Patrol has begun to suffer pretty badly, especially Commissioner Gray in your area. The deputies are hurting really badly. The statistics back it up. They're working harder than anywhere else in the community, in the county. So we want to try to get them some help so they can get off work at a decent time, so they can have backup, so they have safety, so they can end their shift safely. And that's really important. That's the stuff that keeps me up at night, is officer safety. And more backup is a key to making sure that happens.
Yeah.
So I'll be happy to entertain any questions, and I really appreciate giving me the time to be able to do this.
Sheriff, do y'all still have the academy?
We do. We're going to start it in May. So what we do with that is we take the vacant positions that we have, turn those into cadets, get a positive variance on the budget side, train them through, and then put them back out on the street. At first, the first few years, we were able to do that with new positions. Now we have positions that we're not getting the transfers in from other agencies. So we're still getting enough to maintain, but we're not getting caught up until we have the academy. So the academy is huge for us, and those positions don't go unfilled throughout the year, and we're able to, you know, get them on the ground with our training. And, you know, a lot of the applicants that we get are ones that we just absolutely refuse to hire. The dishonorable discharge, that's the wandering officer is what the legislature has deemed it in the Texas 2036 project. That is front and center for the legislature to address this year. I expect there to be pretty significant legislation that addresses officers that get fired, manipulate the system, get rehired at agencies, and continue their career, and then continue doing the whatever that got them run off to begin with. We refuse to hire those people. We also do the right thing by blacklisting them whenever they leave our agency, when we terminate them for misconduct, because a lot of the time, if you don't, they end up right back working at some agency in the area as backup to our guys, and we know that they're a problem. So we don't want them working in law enforcement. And that's done really closely with the DA's office to ensure they don't continue to work in this field, because we don't need them. You know, we don't need a scorpion squad. We don't need excessive use of force at any level whatsoever. We get the power from the people. The people give us that power. And if they don't trust us, they don't think we're professional, and they don't think we're accountable, then they're not going to give us that trust, and therefore we lose our standing in the community, and then we're Memphis PD.
That's right.
Sheriff, do you have a lot of, are young guys and girls, are they trying to get into your academy or try to be a police officer nowadays?
Yeah, that's, without the academy, I don't think we could fill our ranks because they don't have the funding. I mean, they don't have the support to be able to go to an academy full-time without working. So what we're doing is paying them to go through the academy like a large agency would, like HPD or DPS would do, and that has been an absolute boon for us. And there's a lot of eager people. We have a tremendous training ground in the jail. So
there are a lot of young people wanting to do this, right?
Young people,
really?
Yes, and they're coming from the jail ranks. So we hire them into the jail. They learn to deal with knuckleheads in the jail. So that's one good step forward there. They already learn how to dialogue. You know, they're not texting the bad guys. They're actually having to talk to them.
Yeah.
And so they learn how to do that. That's a lost skill that we take for granted.
Right.
So they learn that dialogue. They learn how to de-escalate a situation in the jail, and it makes them a better cadet, and it makes them an excellent cop when they hit the ground.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate the job you're doing. I really do. I think you're doing a good job.
So. Thank you, sir.
Sheriff, you make us all very proud.
Thank you.
You've created an environment of deterrence in the community, and people think twice. I know this for a fact.
As you have publicized, sir.
Think all right. twice before and you come to Montgomery County.
Absolutely. I thank you for your support. Now, I've got some other updates I want to give in the future. Just wanted to keep this one short and just talk about the excellent job that Administrative Services is doing to keep our ranks full.
That's excellent.
Good job.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. Let's move forward. Now we're going to recess Montgomery County Commissioner's Court to convene public hearings. Amy?
Consider and approve establishing a stop sign control and placement of a stop sign on eastbound approach of LaSalle Crossing at LaSalle Avenue. Is anybody here to speak about that? And Precinct 2. Consider and approve changing the one-way stop control at the Old Harden Store Road and Norris Road intersection from westbound approach to the southbound approach. Is anybody here to speak about that? Thank you.
All right. If there are no comments, we'll reconvene court and take appropriate action. Do I have a motion to approve A1 and B1 on the agenda, 12A1, 12B1.
Move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. The next item, Amanda, I guess you're going to present this for us. For the commissioners, consider, discuss, memorialize court interpreter contract pay.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. Yes, I was asked to put this agenda item on for you guys to discuss and the contract interpreter pay. I know this is a topic of discussion we've had a couple of times, but I have been asked to kind of memorialize these rates. And so what I provided you today was at the very top are going to be the rates that the Office of Court Administration is currently using. Those are the non-jury hourly rates of $55 an hour, the jury trial hourly rate at $65 an hour, but there is a minimum. So there's a $220 minimum for a non-jury, $650 for a jury trial full-day minimum.
And what does the minimum mean?
That's
half
the,
day?
That's the lowest.
Show up and you're going to get...
You show up, that's what you get. If you work more than the minimum, then you are based on the hourly rate. On the jury full day, if you work more than 10 hours, then your rate is back to 65. So it's $650 minimum plus $65 an hour, unless you're after 6 p.m., which most of the time, if you're after 10 hours, you're going to be after 6 p.m., it'll bump up to $97.50 an hour. You guys asked me to put this on the agenda because I think some of them, there was at first a discussion on whether or not we wanted to have a minimum rate, whether or not we just wanted to say, hey, look, if you show up, we're going to pay you, or if we want them to actually work those minimum hours. I've provided you a few options. Again, if you, I know that there was a lot of going back and forth, and if you guys want to stay with the rates that OCA has already publicized and thrown out to interpreters, that's going to be option 3 on my list. If you want to go with one of the original options that you guys discussed, that's option 1. If you want to take a half-day minimum but not a full-day minimum, that is option 2. Again, that's on a non-jury trial. So there's a non-jury half-day minimum, and then there's a jury trial full-day minimum. So basically minimum full-day, half-day doesn't really matter as long as if you're working 4 hours, then you're getting the 220 hours. Even if you work 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hours, you're getting the $220 if you're in a non-jury.
Wendy, you're here with us, our Office of Court Administration. Wendy Little, if you could come up to the mic. As this has been presented, I guess in my understanding, I thought we were settled on this. It keeps coming back up. What are your thoughts on this and where we're headed in this?
Certainly, Judge.
Speak in the microphone, if you would, please.
So far, it's working quite well. The $220 half-day minimum for our interpreter of the day rotations, they report to my office between 8 o'clock and 8:30 each morning, check in. I visually see that they're there. I give them a copy of a schedule of which courts are going to require interpreters for that day. They go about those courts. As they interpret in cases or appear in those courtrooms to provide potential services, they note the cause number for the cases that they're appearing on. At the end of their workday, whenever they've gone to all the courts and they're sure that there aren't going to be any more dockets running, they come back to my office and turn that voucher in. I ask that all of them be there no later than noon. Typically, we will also have dockets that start again at 1:30, so I ask them to
be where no later than noon.
To remain in the courthouse no later than noon.
Okay.
So that's that four-hour minimum you're paid for. They are working that entire 4 hours. And then we will also ask them to stay for dockets that begin at 1:30 if we have enough activity in the afternoon. And they'll go and walk all the dockets again, make sure that there are no other cases that they're needed for, and then they'll come back to my office typically at around 2 o'clock, 2:30, and turn in that voucher. So
how many have shown up to your office or wherever and weren't needed and got paid $220
None.
For showing up?
None. And part of the reason that that's occurring is that I'm doing a schedule about 2 weeks to 4 weeks in advance that I put out to our local county interpreters so that we're not paying mileage rates first, and I schedule that entire month based on what I can see for the court's dockets. We're trying to make sure that we're not scheduling them when we don't actually need them. So, for example, for February, we don't have any interpreters of the day scheduled for Fridays because Fridays are pretty quiet in the courthouse. So anytime we have them on schedule, it's because I know I need them.
So they don't start reviewing the cases till up to late as 8:30 in the morning, and they leave at noon sharp. Is that right?
They typically don't leave at noon. In practice, what's happening is that they're typically there until at least 2 o'clock because we do have afternoon dockets that start at 1:30.
But we're talking about a half day, right?
On the half day, yes. If there are occasions where I have an interpreter who will only schedule for that half day, so then they'll only work the 4 hours of the morning.
How many courts are open on a county holiday?
None. So the only time that we have an interpreter for a county holiday is for probable cause court that has to be conducted at the jail.
Would that be for magistration?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And we do pay that $220 minimum for those for PC court for holidays. And we actually have a holiday rate that's a little bit higher. Yeah.
Well, you've got an $82.50 hourly rate, too, for holiday pay.
That's correct.
All right.
So we're doing this, the current rate is what we're doing up here on the very top.
At the very top, yes. And if you want to stay with that, then that's, I basically have shown you that's option three. So what they're doing right now, again, I've asked to put some rates together. So that's what I did. Ultimately, you can pick any of these rates. You can pick your own rate. You can do whatever you want. I mean, you guys are commissioners quite right. But we just want to memorialize and make sure that every court member is on the same page, that you guys understand that if you choose a minimum rate, there is a minimum. Like, it doesn't matter whether or not they...
I just want to make sure we don't pay anybody else around here for showing up 4 hours. Who do we pay to do that with the county?
I don't know of any departments.
No.
I mean, they're either hourly employees or they're exempt employees.
I just want to make sure that if you're scheduling them, and it sounds like that's what you're doing, and everything is right now is working the way it should... I'm okay with this. I don't want somebody showing up, staying for an hour, and getting paid for 4 hours.
Agreed, and I should add a caveat to this. We have also published these rates out to the JP courts because their interpreters that serve in the JP courts are also coming from OCA's budget. In those courts, obviously, I'm not seeing how long those interpreters are there for or how many hours they're actually working.
So how are we going to find that out?
We can get with Rakesh's team on the AP side and look for those invoices if you would like us to. We haven't done that yet, but we can definitely do that and bring the item back to you guys if you want to. Stay with what we're doing now, bring someone back. Whatever you guys want to do.
Find out what they're doing.
I'm curious, is there a note on these causes or these dockets that show if you need a court interpreter, and couldn't you line those all up on a certain day where you slot them and you plan your business when you've got the interpreter and take care of all those cases in one day instead of this hit or miss?
So, and that's actually something that I've been working on since I took office December 1st, is finding a way to transfer that information. Who needs an interpreter to the actual dockets? Especially in criminal cases, when someone's initially arrested, we identify folks that are going to need an interpreter at probable cause court. My team that works for Indigent Defense will note that information in a piece of software that we use called TechShare. So we know exactly who needs an interpreter in TechShare. Our problem is transferring that information to the county clerk system, which uses Odyssey. Those two systems don't talk. So right now I have someone in my office who is manually making a list and sending that list out to the court coordinators. The court coordinators then mark those cases that need interpreters. And we're working to generate a docket each day that tells us exactly which courts, exactly which people in the courthouse are going to need our services.
We've got an IT director.
In terms of what you're asking to consolidate, we don't have that at this point.
Bobby, is there an interface between these systems?
Good morning. No, currently there's not an interface between those two systems. Those are competing products. So they both compete in the same space for the same business. TechShare is part of the CUC. It's the Council of Urban Counties, and they develop that product. It's not that they won't do it. It's going to be very expensive for us to do it. We approached this about 18 months ago, began software engineering, what it would take to make this happen, and it was going to be extremely expensive. And when I say that, I mean in the $300,000 to $400,000 range for us to make the things talk, because they have no interest in making it
talk. So that we can stay on track here, Bobby, because now that enters into a whole other topic of discussion. But thank you very much.
Roger that. Thank you.
You know, when this all originally came up, Wendy, we had discussed it. We discussed it in the Board of Judges. You'd come forward. You said you would keep track of these details for us. As I recall, though, the board had mentioned that concerning the justice of the peace, they didn't want you getting involved with that whole area, which is another topic of discussion in itself. But for our discussion today, these rates that we are currently using, as you said, Commissioner Riley, that if they appear to be working, you're okay with it. As long as you continue to keep track of what's going on, and I don't see any reason why you wouldn't. So
we did get.
But we don't know what the JPs are doing.
I don't. I just talked to the sheriff because I wanted to know personally about probable cause, right? Those hearings, that court docket, according to the sheriff, can last anywhere from 1 to 5 hours. It could be, you know, longer. It could be shorter. So just know on those particular those ones, we pay the minimum rate, $220. Whether that docket lasts 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours.
You never know. I can understand that.
Okay. JPs, my
understanding. That's what the JPs, each of the JPs certify and basically order to pay. So all the judges actually sign the interpreter vouchers for us to pay. And basically, in the past, it hasn't 100%, but I think Wendy was trying to get them all together, right, as part of the adoption of the new policy. So
but there were a couple of JPs that we talked about that didn't even turn anything in. Isn't that correct?
To my knowledge, they were not coming through OCA. Some of the JP offices are having their court coordinators email their interpreter vouchers to OCA to have signed. And submitted to the auditor's office. The other JP offices, I can't say whether or not they're using interpreter services. They may just be direct submitting to the auditor's office. But I have not asked Rakesh's office to pull those to tell me whether or not that's happening or not.
Being a misdemeanor court, there's a possibility they're just getting people to just interpret.
Or they may be using Language Line, or they may have someone on staff
right.
who can
yeah.
provide interpreting services because they're not courts of record. So they don't have to meet the same requirements that the county courts at law and the district courts
Correct.
Have to meet.
Correct.
So if the trial goes past lunchtime, let's say, and it starts the full day pay, and they only say, a 1 hour into the next session, do they get paid?
Trial is full day minimum no matter what.
And, okay.
And we should specify that's jury trial. That's, you have to have jurors in the box in order to get to that 65 an hour rate. This is not a bench trial.
All right.
Well, I'm still not comfortable with what the JPs are doing. I'd like to defer this for the next court, find out what the JPs are actually doing before we agree to this.
I'm not trying to push this through, but we have discussed that it is working, and the JPs will be another issue. It's a separate issue. They're operating on a different program than the civil and the CCL courts are operating on. They're misdemeanor courts.
Okay, but do we know whether they are not? They're hiring.
It does come out of the same budget, though.
Right.
It does come out of the court operations budget. So even though it might be different, Judge, it does come, for us in Rakesh, it does come out of the same type of funds. So I just want to make sure that the Commissioner's Court's aware that court operations serves JPs, county clerk,
district courts. And I know it's been talked about a couple of times, but it's kind of confusing whenever we talk about it. And again, we don't know what they're doing. And I'd like to know what they're doing before we agree to this.
I can't answer anecdotally.
If I may.
Sorry, Judge.
If I may. Okay. Really what the justices of the peace are doing, they're in, even though it's coming from the same budget, they're in a different world than the CCL courts or the district courts. They have different trials. They have different standards, all of that. And some of these guys have figured out how to do it on their own without any real expense. And what we do, and when the Board of Judges, as we discussed, if you recall, the Board of Judges didn't want you now to be burdened with keeping track of five justices of the peace and all the interpreters and scheduling and all the rest. They're apparently doing an adequate enough job where they're at. Now, do we need to maybe look at how they're funding that? I don't even know if they're using certified interpreters. Nobody could conclude whether or not they were or not of the Board of Judges. Yes, BD?
No.
So, you know, at this point, I think we have really two different subjects, and my personal feeling is that we need to move forward on this and just get it done once and for all. And then if we want to bring back the issue of the JPs, bring it back and find out as it relates to how this is being funded. Because these here are working.
This today, it's still going to work. We're not going to change anything. We're going to let them use that until we find out what they're doing, JPs are doing. Nothing changes.
It's the concern of the judges that Wendy is going to be now getting involved with five more courts.
I'm not asking Wendy to do anything. I'm trying to find out from Rakesh or whoever can tell me what the JPs are doing. That's what I know. That's what I want to know.
Okay, and we can.
I'm not asking Wendy to do anything extra. Not
Commissioner
one thing.
Riley, if I can, there is a single interpreter who is currently serving JP 1, 3, and 4. Previously, she was submitting separate vouchers for each one of those JP offices, which was causing a substantial cost overrun.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now that they have the revised form and the revised rates, we did a special form just for the JP courts that I transmitted to all of them and to that interpreter. She starts her day in one JP court. She gets paid the $220 minimum. She then travels to other JP courts, and for those JP courts, once she's past noon, she's by the hour. So we're not getting multiple vouchers from multiple JPs anymore. Under the new program, we're already saving money versus what the JPs were doing.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve it as it is. If we need to come back and talk about the other in the future, certainly, but that we approve it as it is. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Even though I questioned it so much, but I think I got a pretty good answer from Wendy.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy,
for clarifying
that. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, thank you very much. All right, let's move forward. Precinct 2.
Okay. We need to consider, discuss, and appoint chairperson and directors for the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority, and accordingly approve resolution appointing chairperson and directors for a term expiring December the 31st, 2026.
I'll move that we have Commissioner Riley continue as chairperson.
All right.
And I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. And the directors being us.
We need to appoint Commissioner Gray as a director, right?
Yes.
Treasurer, right?
I'm sorry?
We're going to do the officers or later.
We need to get you as a director first before we do anything else.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
So we're going to appoint him as a director. So can we make the motion, me and him both together?
And also reappoint Judge Keough. It's everybody on that election cycle.
I think that's in another, is it there in that particular one?
It's right here, the resolution order to appoint the chairperson and the directors whose term has ended December 31st, 2022.
So the judge needs to be involved in that?
Yes, so Chairman Riley, Director Keough, and Director Metz, and Director Gray will likely take over for Director Metz.
Yes.
And so do we have a motion to that effect?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right.
Consider and approve an interlocal agreement between Montgomery County and Montgomery County Toll Road Authority regarding law enforcement services from Constable Precinct 5. I move.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three.
Consider and approve agreement between Montgomery County and Montgomery County Toll Road for administrative management services. I move.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to item number 14, 14A, consider and approve increasing the funding factor. Amanda, I believe this would be you. Can you explain this to us?
I'd like to defer that until after executive session.
Can? Okay, then let's defer that for right now until after we come back from executive session. So item number 15, executive session. The court is now going to recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071, 551.074. Thank you all. Be patient. We shall return. All right. Thank you all for waiting. We're back. Court is back in session here. But we did bypass 14A. So, Amanda, why don't you come and share with us about that so we can discuss that?
Okay, gentlemen, let's see. I have considered and approved increasing the funding factor for remainder of FY 2023 from $15,834 to $16,190. This is just due to the fact that we normally, you guys adopt the budget, of course, October 1 to September 30th, but we actually don't normally change that rate in the system until the new plan year, which is January 1. So this year, to kind of compensate for that, we're asking you guys to just bump up the factor from 15,834 to 16,190. We have budgeted funds for that, so there's no change to the budget. We're just basically catching up from not changing that factor 4 months.
What kind of money is that from 15 to 16,000?
It is about 800,000 on the general fund. Again, we would, you know, we would change this rate for everything. Our contracts, the grants that can take it, we'll do that too. The grants that can't take it, meaning that their grants have been finalized, we'll keep it at the 15,834. But any of the grants in our contracts, general fund, special revenue funds, all those positions, it'll move to the 16,190.
Okay. I move.
You have a motion. Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right. We took no action in our executive session. Are there any citizens here who would like to make any comments? Yes, if you would please, as you come forward, state your name for the record and the topic that you would like to discuss. And if you remember, we have a three-minute limit, if you would please.
Oh, that won't be 3 minutes. I'm Tina Orbaugh. Spoke to Jim Spagner and about the water district, and he is your Lone Star Groundwater Conservation in District. And he said he did speak to you, and he spoke to Jason, and I just got done talking. So he answered a lot of my questions. So I'm just going to propose that talk to him again, because he said he wanted to talk to y'all again, and also that if you can give any pressure of what is happening with our water district, knowing that there's a lot going on that people don't know about, and I'm sure since he's talked to y'all pretty well know what's going on. And he wanted to know if you can give him a call and talk to him and maybe set up another appointment. Also trying to push knowing you can't do anything maybe right now, but push the people that can and just give your influence as much as you can. That's all.
Well, in the just the spirit of full transparency, why did he send you and not come here himself?
Oh, he's busy, and I just said we're going to Commissioner's Court. Is there anything?
Okay.
We met with him yesterday,
yeah.
And so I said, is there anything you would like me to talk about? And he said, I would really like you to say we need money.
Okay.
But I thought instead of just saying we need the money so we can help the water problem, I thought I'd let you know, well, it's probably better if you talked.
All right. Well,
thank you. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate it so much. All right. Is there anyone else? If there is no one else who's going to speak, then we have a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Opposed?